ARPA divisions and the key executives who ran them, from the owned and operated television stations, the radio stations, cable networks, and newspapers, to the lucrative employment contracts with Peter Jennings, Diane Sawyer, and Barbara Walters. No wonder news didn't make more money, Eisner observed. Iger was mainly worried about prime time, where ABC's lead was slipping. Ironically, it was the Spielberg series ER that Eisner could barely bring himself to watch on the flight from Aspen a year earlier that had put NBC in contention, along with the hit comedy Friends. It turned out that Jack Welch had been right to back Bob Wright as head of NBC. But ESPN results were better than expected. Still, Eisner seemed surprised by the complexity and enormity of the Cap City's enterprise. How can I do this alone? He mused at one point. Afterward, they took a brief hike, and then Ovitz and Judy joined the Eisners and Iger for dinner. Eisner mentioned that he and Ovitz were going hiking together the next day. Watching the body language at the table between the old friends, it flickered across Iger's mind that Eisner might hire Ovitz as president. He knew Ovitz. CAA and ABC had done many talent deals over the years, but he had little sense as to how Ovitz would function as a corporate executive. On some level, Iger impressed Eisner, even if Tom Murphy hadn't felt he was ready to succeed him as chief executive. He later wrote that he found him intelligent, thoughtful, and unusually open, and that he was relieved to have a strong leader at the top of ABC. But that's not what he told board members and Ovitz, who, as Iger had accurately surmised, was already in intense talks to become Disney's president. The Ovitz negotiations, underway ever since Eisner briefed him on the impending ABC deal, had gone into overdrive the same day Iger arrived, after Barry Diller called Eisner to warn him that rumors were rife in Hollywood that Ovitz was negotiating to come to Disney. Then Ovitz himself called. It's all over L.A. that you and I are talking. Ovitz's colleagues at CAA, having just absorbed the near loss of Ovitz to Universal, were in revolt. Ovitz needed a decision, one way or the other, by the end of the weekend, so he could make an announcement Monday morning. Iger was also correct that his own assessment of ABC had underscored the need for Eisner to hire someone, and Eisner began calling board members to sell them on the idea of hiring Ovitz, even as he and Ovitz hammered out details of the arrangement. None of the board members really knew much about Ovitz, other than what they had read in the press, but his credentials seemed impeccable. The overriding impression was that he was an effective businessman with vast creative contacts, the most powerful man in Hollywood. And, in any event, Eisner stressed that he'd known him intimately for nearly 30 years. During some of these calls, to Gold, for example, Eisner disparaged Iger, characterizing him as soft, too good-looking, and lacking creative skills, which necessitated the hiring of Ovitz. To Ovitz, he suggested he might even dismiss Iger and replace him with Dennis Hightower, who was already running the Disney television division. But Ovitz urged restraint, saying it would be a disaster to replace Iger so soon, and that he deserved a few years to prove himself. In any event, if Ovitz was going to run ABC as part of his responsibilities, he needed Iger to help make the transition. Ovitz and Eisner spent the next 24 hours in nearly constant contact, either on the phone, at Eisner's house, or on a long hike.